podcast is part of the Sports Social Podcast Network.
From the Fifth Quarter Studios in Madison, Wisconsin, you're listening to Coach Unplugged. And now, your host, Steve Collins.
Hey everybody, welcome to Coach Unplugged. Today, before we jump in, we'd love to, if you'd leave a review on iTunes and or wherever you listen to podcasts. Those five stars do really help. We'd also like to give a big shout out to our sponsors. First of all, Dr. Dish, the number one shoe machine on the market. I'll get it out. Not only are they innovative, unbelievable how shooting machines have changed. You know, I remember when they used to have those long metal racks coming from the court. But how they've innovated, how they've put the trainers right in front of you, it's unbelievable. So go over and check it out. Also, go over and check out teachhoops.com for coaches who want to get better. It's the one-stop shop for basketball coaches. There's nothing else on the market like it. Nowhere else are you going to get the bat phone to the person running it. No, you know, yes, they might do quarterly or monthly or weekly calls, but they're not on your beck and call. If you have a question, if you have an email, trust me, I will get back to you. I will respond. I will get on a call with you that day. So come over and check out teachhoops.com for coaches who want to get better. Let's head off to the podcast.
And do you do different shots or you do only those four steps? You ever do
we three? Do those four quick. It's about ball movement. It's not about really the shots. It's about talking, communicate, quick passes, hands ready, getting their minds into, like, if you're not awake and you're not, and everybody at the end of the line has to be clapping. If you don't have a ball, you got to clap. So if you're not into it, like, you might get a ball off the head. You might get, you know what I mean? Like, you're not ready. The coach is screaming at you, get your hands up, ready, shot ready, turn, you know. So now, like, it's just a drill to get everyone into practice right away. Simple drill, quick shooting, 4 minute time with a goal. Everybody's going. You know what I mean?
I love that. I love that.
Yeah, 4 minute shoot. I kind of like it. And, you know, we've always, that it gets our practices really.
And it gets it moving. Okay, let's go back to the shared screen here.
You know, then we do the old three on a layup. Which, you know, everybody does. You know, like, you know, we all know that one, right? You know, just three man weave. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Layup. And then three on a layup. So this is basically, I'm going to come back out of that. I'll show you.
Okay.
All right. So this is how this drill works. You'd have three guys, a layup line right there. We'd have, and a rebounding line right here. And then there'd be, everybody would fill in those three spots. There's the three spots in the court.
Okay.
So now what would happen was this guy would go for his, left-handed layup coming right now.
Okay.
Right? He'd make the layup, and then as he made the layup, he takes off down the court.
Okay.
He goes. The big man steps on the court, gets the ball out of the net, goes out of bounds, and then the point guard who's here, he goes to ask to the sideline, calls for an outlet. You know what I mean?
Yep.
Outlet, ball. This guy has to clear the paint here, and he's got to throw an outlet pass to the point guard. Point guard has his ass to the sideline. So he can, doesn't get, you know, like the old ass to the, you know, if he turns and catches, it's going to be a charge.
Yep.
You know what I mean? So you don't want that. So the key teacher you're talking about, calling for the outlet point guard off the sideline, but, you know, a good enough so you could turn either baseline, sideline or middle.
Right.
So now he's got to be ass to the sideline. You make that pass to him here. He turns and goes and makes a chest pass, you know, up the court, snap pass up to the court for this guy going for the layup. The big man who made the outlet has to come down and get the rebound out of the net.
Okay. Yep.
So you've got a three-man moving at the same time. You get the point guard. You get the layup guy. So the layup guy goes, takes the shot, boom, takes off, outlet, snap, bang, here.
Here.
That's 3-on-0 layup. And, you know, boy, he comes down. Then the next group comes, three guys going, 3-on-0 layup, 3-on-0 layup.
Yep.
And it just really teaches pushing the ball up the court, outlet, rebound.
I like that.
You know what I mean? It really gets you going. And then you transfer that, the same exact thing. Now when they're really good with three, and they come back the other way, three-on-0 layup coming back the other way to your right hand, you know, left hand. You come, you know, when they're all down here now, we just go back the other way. And now after 3-on-0 layup, we do 3-on-0 post pass. And the 3-on-0 post pass is very similar, same exact situation. You know, the guy goes for the layup here, takes, you know, makes the layup, takes off down the court, you're going down the court. Big man, the same exact thing, takes out of bounds, outlet, same exact thing here. Now this is 3-on-0 post pass. So now you throw it up the court, and instead of going for a layup, you drag dribble it down to the corner and come back, big man.
And your big man's trailing. Yeah.
Rim to rim, rim to rim. He posts up. These two guys are here. And now you got to make an entry pass to the post. Pass, you know, fake high, pass around low. Your assistant coach is standing out here with a basketball right here.
Yep.
You make the post. This post, big man makes his post move. The coach passes it out to one of these players. And then he penetrates and kicks out for a shot.
I like that.
Penetrate, kick out.
That trailer big thing is so hard for them to do.
Oh, I know.
Isn't it?
That's a tough. I'll tell you, we work on that a lot. And then when we have a coach stand here, and as the bigs coming down, we bump him with a pad. And he's got to skin off. You know what I mean? And catch him.
I'm telling you, you might run this drill for a month, and they still won't be good. I mean, it just takes so long for that trailing big.
Oh, I know.
Because I don't know if they don't look.
It's not clearing that paint, catching. If they get the mentality of sprinting, that's why they've got to get the ball out of the net, sprint the court. You know, like the same exact thing, like post up. I want our bigs trying to beat the other big down.
Right, and they don't look. I mean, I think part of that summer basketball, I hate to say it, but the game is so wide that they don't look for those guys going down unless it's going to be a tomahawk dunk. They never look for them coming down the lane anymore.
I'll tell you right now, I hate to say it, but there's limited amount of big men in the country anymore. We did I ran a NEPSAC tournament, which is all the NEPSAC schools in New England came to my gym this past summer for the college coaches. There was 200 college coaches across the country, high level Division I.
Right.
It was a sanctioned event. It was one of the only sanctioned ones in the summer. And so we said, hey, what are we going to do for these guys? Man, they want to see him play, but they also got to do a breakdown a little bit. So let's break them down to three groups: post player, wing, and point guard. So I said, all right, guys, get them all together. I said, all right, listen, anybody who's a point guard, go to court one. Wing, go to court two. Post player, go to court three. You guys all set? Now, there was 250 kids.
Let me guess. Less than 10 bigs.
Five went over to court three. Five out of 250 went over to the big man section. It was unbelievable.
Well, part of that is college. Part of that's the NBA. Like, they're looking for Giannis. They're looking for, like, long, lanky, Magic Johnson kind of. They're not looking for bigs anymore.
No,
the Shaquille O'Neals of the world are gone.
It's unbelievable. I couldn't believe it. I'm like, I was going over to the wings. I'm like, why don't you go over to just to get seen? There's college coaches on that court. Like,
right.
You're in a line with like 60, 70 other dudes. Why don't you go over there with the one five?
I'd be like the 6 foot kid down there with the posts. It's like, look at me. Look at me.
Exactly. So, but you know, I know it's hard to get those bigs, but if you can get a big to run the court and all that and post up.
All right, let's go. Let's do the end of it in like 3 minutes because I have a couple questions I want to ask you, and I don't want to keep you all night here.
Yeah, no problem. Share screen back.
I mean, I could talk basketball all night, but there you go. Okay.
Yeah, these are three on two continuous drill, two teams, which I think is a fun drill. It's a continuous drill where you have, it's basically teaching a three on two and just going up and back, continuous three on twos.
Yeah,
that's a good one. We do broke it off, did some free throws.
Yeah,
if you missed, you had a penalty. Like you do a one on one. I always teach our guys to take two free throws. You know, after you take the first one, step off the line, take the second one, and then it's a one on one. If you miss the first, you got to do something. You know, like double.
Right.
If you miss the second, you only got it. Like, so we do 20. So if you do, if you miss the first, you do 20 burpees. If you miss the second, you only do 10 burpees.
Right.
So there's always a penalty on the free throws, teaching them like it means something. So that's not messing around. So we always may take the free throws, and that's when they get their water. After you take two one-on-ones, you can go get a water. And
okay.
We kind of give them their break. So there are always some water breaks on the free throws. Then we go over shell drill, teaching a shell drill, typical across the country. Everybody works on a shell. Strong, weak side cutters, that. Then we worked on switching ball screens during this practice, which is always important. What are you going to do? Switch ball screens? How are you going to play a ball screen?
I'm telling you, ball screens are the one thing that literally you don't. High school coaches.
What do you play the ball screen?
I double the ball screen a lot, especially up high, because there's not a lot. I mean, and we're playing, I mean, consistently, there's a handful of D1 guys in our league. The problem is, I got to jump. I mean, otherwise you're going to turn the corner kids don't pass out of that. Well, that's right. My theory is we're going to rotate fast enough that if I come at you now, don't get me wrong. We were hedging. We were doing some other stuff late in the season, but I'm going to double you at least half. I'm going to make you think that we're coming. You said that ball screen, we're doubling the ball. I mean, go ahead and flare and roll. The guy that has the ball is not going to get it to you half the time.
Exactly, especially the high school level.
Yeah,
we've been icing it, and I've been trying to get that ice down to these guys. But it's if you don't when you commit to it, if one of the things screw up, you get really messed
up. Yeah, and here's the problem is we don't have the time to practice. Right. I mean, if I'd run that, I'd run all sorts of different types of things if I could spend you know the time to teach them.
Practice it, yeah.
Yeah, we're going to do this for this team. We're going to do this for this team. Yep. But it's like we don't have time. I mean, if I had them all year round, even if I could only see them for a couple hours in the fall and the spring, I could do all that. But it's like we get shut down. You know, I don't know.
I know. Anyway. It's very hard. They limit I think they're trying to give it more back to the high school coaches lately. The NCAA is kind of like, you know, well, they've given us, you know, a little bit.
I have several things I'm gonna fight for before I get done with this thing. One is the jump ball should go away. It's a stupid thing. Why do the officials can't even throw the ball.
No, the officials mess it up every time.
Let's just give the visiting team the ball and do alternating possession. That's my first thing. It's stupid. It's just a dumb thing. And, yeah. And, what were we just talking about?
You run a tap play? I run a tap play.
Run a tap play. We've been burned on a tap play too.
Yeah.
But yeah, go ahead. Keep going, coach.
And, you know, then basically then we just do, we had this practice, we had conditioning for 4 minutes because sometimes we only have two baskets. So, you know, like, cause we have to share the court with,
right.
You know, like the women's, the other right. JV. So if I don't have my six hoops, then I do conditioning, you know what I mean? Stations. Right. And four guys are taking free throws, and then we rotate. You know, like those four guys come free throws, the other guys are in conditioning. So you kind of get your conditioning in with water because we try to be a pressing team. Then I work on press break during this practice and zone offense versus the 2-3 and the 1-3-1. We do this drill called Michigan State, which is a guy from Michigan State, Tom Izzo, a phenomenal drill. Basically, you start off 2-on-1. There's two teams. Yep. You know, white and blue. Blues down the other end, he sends one guy out on defense.
Okay.
White team comes down with two guys. Okay. They got the ball. They're on offense. So now it's a 2-on-1. Right. You're going down the court 2-on-1. Play, score.
Yep.
Now we got it. We're up 2-0 to white. We get back in a tandem because two guys on the blue come out. Now it's a 3-on-2. Three-on-two coming back. And now it's three blue guys versus two white. They got to make the stop.
Yep.
They say they score. Now it's 2-2.
Yeah.
Now the white team sends out four.
Four.
I mean, now two other guys come on. Now it's a 4-on-3.
Right.
Now you go down, play the 4-on-3, scramble and triangle, how to play D. All of a sudden, the shot goes up. We make it. We're up 6-4. They send two more guys on. Now it's a 5-on-4 going back. We're doing the box. One guy's open. Finally score. Now it's 6-6. Now it's a 5-on-5, the final drill.
I love that.
Awesome drill. Teams love it because it's a score. It's like, you know, who's going to be
active too. You're active. Yeah.
Yeah. It's 2-on-1, 3-on-2, all the things that happen in practice. Phenomenal drill. Got that from Tom Izzo. And, we did it when I was at Holy Cross. Awesome. We did it when I was at Quinnipiac. We did it when I was at Western Kentucky. We did it when I was sailing everywhere I've gone and done it. It's an awesome drill. Kids love it. And then we did some defensive conditioning. I always believe that you got to teach kids to stay in stance. And so we do this slide run drill. So basically that when I said defensive conditioning, it's like you start in the corner, they slide out to the elbow, then they sprint. Then they slide to the other elbow, then they sprint to the corner. Then they're sliding the whole baseline. Same thing, slide, run all the way up.
And the problem is the kids, kids want to stand up so much.
Oh. Like, and we teach them slow, you know, like board, you know, don't like come up, don't know bunny hopping. Try and teach that technique of not clicking your heels, you know, short choppy steps, you know, board between your legs, 6 inches, you know, all that kind of stuff. And that's where you can really teach that. And it's also work on the conditioning of staying in the stance. So we talked about that, getting some water. And then this day was a scout day. So we were talking 15 minutes about the other team and what drills they did. And then we go through last 10 minutes, all our plays, you know, dry.
Yeah,
and side out of bounds, underneath out of bounds, and then we do our post.
And how do you do? I see on the bottom you've got groups. Do you make them competitive and equal? Do you put your starting five together? How do you do that?
It varies. Earlier in the season, we do it. To be honest, we break them off like evenly, and then later on, I kind of want my five starters kind of working. I want the other kids to be the scout team, and I want those kids to kind of like wish they were a starter and bust their ass to try and get the starting spot.
Yeah.
So I kind of, as the season progresses, we kind of like have the top group and the second group, and I kind of
Make
them green and white, you know.
Differentiate. Let's share the screen here. Do you, if you could only do three things at practice, what would you do?
Oof, three things in practice. I guess it would be, I would have to do offensively. We'd be doing a lot, you know, a lot of shooting. I think that would be important. I would be really working on shell. I think your defensive, your half court, you have to, in order to win, you got to be able to stop someone in the half court, I think. You know what I mean?
You do.
So you got to. So I'd probably work on shell. I think in order to win also on the other end, you got to make shots. I don't think enough guys work on shooting like game shots, not like just stand still, like jack them up, like, you know, like time and score, like game shooting drills that like really put pressure on kids and like,
right.
You gotta, you know, elevate and make a shot like yes. under pressure and like put them as much as you can in that. So I'd be doing competitive shooting drills, probably shell. And then since I'm a pressing coach, I've always, you know, been pressing. I'd work on some kind of press, you know, like whatever it is, the, you know, diamond or, you know, black or, you know,
what do you think, what do you think the hardest thing to teach is?
Hardest thing to teach. That's a really good question. I think, the hardest thing to teach is teammate stuff, like getting the kids away from themselves and holding them accountable to like being a great teammate. I think that's important. And like, I don't think the kids even realize they're doing it. And like, I had a kid, you know, every time he made a basket, he was pointing to the crowd and, you know, like doing the whole, you know, guns and, you know, like, you know, just making crazy stuff. And
I hit a three. I'm running down the court. I hit a three.
I know.
Why are you doing that?
I know. Like, getting him to believe in himself not to do that. And like, it meant something to, you know, like it was just tough. And I said, I want you, it could be like, why are you taking it away from me, coach? I want, it's supposed to be celebrate. I'm like, yeah, I want you to celebrate, but wait till a timeout. Like if you make a three and they call a timeout and it's whatever, then I want you jumping up. I want you hugging your teammates. I want that emotion and that passion, but like not in the middle of a flow of a game.
Right.
And I think kids don't get that. They don't think about the next play enough. Like, you know, like you got to be locked in, man. Like on every possession,
right?
Every possession means something to us.
And I'm not going to defend this kid, but it's I'm married to a psychologist. Part of that is that teenage brain. They don't think beyond. They don't think beyond two minutes.
No, so that's hard. I think it's hard to get them to buy into that team mentality, and like it's more than just me, and like these kids, you know, they're all high school, they want to be the leading scorer, they want to be the, you know, the, you know, the guy that makes the shot and the fans are all cheering their name and all that, but they don't realize is like if you can do it consistently, they're going to be doing that for everybody, you know, like in the fans, because they're going to win, you're going to win
right?
So I'm like, I'm trying to, you know, trying to get that out of their mentalities is hard, and making them believe that it means something.
What would you tell your young self?
Oof.
I always think of questions that coaches would want to hear.
I think it's, I love what I've done this for now. I've been at Division I, Division II, Division III. I've been a head high school coach. And I would have do it differently, you know, to be honest with you. If I was younger though, I probably would have tried to get to the highest level earlier. Cause I think like, if I was younger, I'd say, try and get on a, like a Syracuse as a manager, try and get as a, you know, a video assistant at like Duke or not, you know, like work as many high level camps as you can, to get to know the assistants and, you know, that kind of stuff. Cause I think it's easier to come down from the highest level to where you've got to be than to try and bust, like to go from a high school, you know, assistant to a high school head coach.
Right. I mean, there's only so many Bo Ryans in the world.
Yeah, there's not.
You know, there's just, it just doesn't happen. I mean, Boeheim did it. Boeheim.
Yeah, but it's very few and far between.
Not Boeheim. Michigan coach did it.
Izzo.
No, the one
Beeline, John Beeline.
Beeline did it. He did it. Yeah, Beeline.
Yeah, you're right. Yeah, very few. You know, like very few to build that up like that and win at a higher level. Like I could go right now, Hampton Hall here, and win the national championship, like high school for next five. And I don't think a Division I's going to offer me a job. You know what I mean? Like it ain't.
And the only thing that would, the only thing that would open doors for you is you've got experience.
Yeah.
Like if I applied for even a D3 job, they're going to say you haven't recruited.
Right.
Great, you've won, but I don't know if you can coach to college level.
Exactly.
My theory is coaching's coaching. As long as I get I know enough about the game, I would recruit the right guys that would fit my system. That's part of the key, but that's not – I mean, I never wanted – I mean, I had my chances, but I love coaching high school. But that's you're right. It's like, and the problem is you got to look at it like you're an indentured servant. If you want to be a college coach, you're an indentured servant. You're going to work 100 hours and make $12, basically.
Oh, my God. Like, if I have a chart of the amount of hours I put in at Holy Cross, and, you know, it's crazy.
Right.
40-hour week is not, like, it's not even
there
like
is a, no 40-hour week.
It's not even – it's funny to even say that word. You know what I mean? Like, it's
– right.
It's
because there's 50 people standing behind you that will take the job. It's like being –
oh, yeah. And, you know, to be honest with you, when you're going through it, like, I didn't even think of it like that. Like, I wasn't thinking like, I, you know, wait a minute, day off. Like, you know, like, yeah, I gotta be in the office tomorrow at 6. Like, we got effort stats. I'm doing here till 1 o'clock in the morning. Like,
right.
Those are hard days, but like, you don't even think about it. It's just part of your mentality. You just, so if you don't have that mentality and that love for this game and the love to,
you won't make it.
My biggest thing was my love of, you know, watching the film and getting guys better. And I walked into a practice and after I watched the kids' effort stats, I could talk to a kid for a half an hour, but man, like, listen, when you're blocking out, you weren't bending. You weren't like, you got to get lower. And these kids like, what do you mean, coach? I'm like, let's watch the film. Look at you stand. So like, you could really teach a kid and you see the kid get that aha moment. Those are the moments I live for in coaching. And that's what carried me through when I got better. So like, if younger coaches, you got to love it like that. If you don't, it's a long road, man. If you're
I always tell my students that the key to life is find something you love to do,
yep,
something you're good at, and something that pays well. If you find the interchange of those three, you're in good shape. I think I found two of the three.
Right.
Teachers don't make a lot of money, but anyway, so that's the happiness. And you know, you might love to do something like you might. I always tell my students, you might love singing.
Yeah, right.
Like, you're not any good at it. Like, so that's fine. You can sing the rest of your life, but no one's going to listen to you, you know?
Right.
So you got to try to find something you love to do and you're good at. Yeah. If you could talk to one coach, who would you talk to, living or dead?
John Wooden.
Why?
I did a lot of reading when I, you know, about coaching and stuff like that. And I just loved his mentality. He never swore in front of his players. He was just a gentleman. And you know, he won a lot, you know, and he really won a lot. And he was really attention to detail and practice. And, you know, like, he didn't have to yell during the games. And he always says, because I knew we worked so hard in practice. And if you ever get a chance, just listen to stuff about John Wooden and read about him and just watch some tape on him. He's hard not to like be inspired by. And, you know, just what he did and accomplished. I don't think there's any other college coach out there that's done what he's done.
Is there anything you change about the game?
What level? The high school?
Any level.
Any level? I mean, I think there's a lot of things that have been changing, like the three-point line going back deeper and stuff like that. I think changes the game a lot. I've seen that, you know, when I played, we didn't even have the three, you know, like early on.
Yeah, I know.
You know, and now it's college, like moving back in college and stuff like that. So I think there's some rules that I would like change, you know, but I kind of like the way it is. You know, I think that, you know, there's things that have to evolve.
Do you have a shot clock?
We do have a shot clock. Yeah, I think everyone should have a shot clock.
How long is yours?
We go 30 seconds.
Okay.
So,
and do you have a problem with someone running it?
Managers? I mean,
we hire
staff that come in and do the games.
And do you have three officials?
We have – most games we have three officials. For our home games, we have three, but sometimes in the row we only have two.
And do they have a problem with the shot clock, whether it hits the rim and those kind of things? I mean, it's not the college level.
I mean, it happens. I mean, you know, it's going to happen throughout the game, but it's not to the effect where I think it ruins the game. Someone's that clueless. I think they get the hang of it and they get better. And, you know, as long as you got an attentive, responsible person there, you know, like who's willing to, like, you know, it means something to
them.
Like,
and what percentage of time is the shot clock come into play?
That's a good question. I'd probably say maybe, you know, I don't know, maybe 15% of the game.
What do you do when – do you have specific things you do if it's running down?
Oh, yeah. You know, under 10 seconds, we have, you know, kids, if we haven't got something under 10 seconds, they bring the ball to the middle and they run a flat middle ball screen. So, you know, not an angle, a kind of middle flat so they can't guys can't have to hedge one way or the other. It's a little bit harder with a flat ball screen. So we call that flat, and, you know, they get to do that. Or we do 1-4 low, and we try and let my best player go. So we have a couple calls, head tap, and, you know, that with shot clock running down. And then the old typical fist, we just come out and get a side screen because he's right on the side and we can't get to the middle. Then if he just calls a fist, it's side ball screen with under 10 seconds. These are all on after our play hasn't panned out, our secondary hasn't panned out, play hasn't panned out, clock's down to 9, run to like either fist, side screen, middle screen, or flat. You know, one of the three.
Right.
So we do, yeah, and the shot clock stuff. And then we have plays that we go over with, you know, on, you know, under 5 seconds, you know, all the different stuff.
Right. No, I get it. And the only reason I have a problem with shot clocks, I think there's this is a stats teacher for me. There's such a wide range of abilities at high school level. Your guys and my guys can create, we would never have a shot clock problem ever.
Right. Like, right.
I could.
There really is not. The way I press, right. I'm never, I don't even remember even, you know, maybe once in a while we look at the end of the game because, you know, the other team's trying to delay or whatever. But the way we press, we're pressing on every possession.
So it doesn't,
doesn't affect us.
But I'm just thinking even a really small guy's team or a really small girl, I mean, they just don't have the players that when the shot clock gets to 10, the ball, there's going to be some really bad shots.
Yeah, well, I would agree with that. But I think the alternative of not having a shot clock and guys delaying the game and having the games and the, you know.
Do you think that happens that much, though?
Oh, yeah. In New Jersey, you know, there's big things about that. The old four corners and keeping the scores of like 25 to 22 in a high school basketball game. And
Could they do that to you, though? That you wouldn't let them do that to you?
No. I wouldn't let that would happen. But, like, you know, I guess if you have some skilled players, it might be hard if they're like, you know, you're trying to trap them, they throw it to the other side,
right,
they get it over, and then they go back to a – yeah, it could. I don't think it'd ever get to that point with the athletes that I have, but, you know, like, I could see, I don't know. I mean, if that's your style of coaching.
I think it's a hard thing to sell kids if you're going to pull it out, too, to be honest.
I know. I mean, that's, you know.
It's a hard sell, man.
I just think it speeds up the game. It makes you want to play, get the game fast. Kids know they got to play fast. When you go to college, you got to be playing like that.
Right.
So my thing is, like, we should be duplicating the things that we do in high school, college. Like, I have a big problem with our, our league because they don't let us, like, scout, you know, like, opponents. Like, they don't, like, no exchanging tapes, you know, that kind of stuff.
Can you go and send scouts to games?
No, not in our league. It's, like, ridiculous. And I'm like, you know, like, they say.
Okay, so anybody that's listening, my mouth just dropped to the floor. Yeah. I literally can't even tell you how much tape we go through of opposing teams. Like,
yeah,
there was one opponent this we played this year that we had every game, like every game they played, every game.
That's college. That's basically college.
I had all the stats. I had everything. I knew who could shoot. I knew where they were going to shoot. I knew how they were going to shoot.
So you get to the point where you're sending people, talking to others, people about what's going on. Then you got to wait till you play them once to get your film on them. You know what I mean? Or you got a buddy who has film on them that sends it to you. It's such a bad system, and I'm trying to get it changed. And I'm trying to. So now they got to the point where this year they let us go. If you ask the opposing coach if you can come, they allow you. You have to ask the opposing athletic director to come to the game. You have to ask that. That was
I'm moving. I'm moving to Connecticut and going to start an underground taping system, man.
Oh, you'd make a million. You know what I mean? It's like I'll
just go and tape.
I think it really was because I think some of the coaches are just too lazy. Say, hey, I'm not a full time coach yet. I can't go out and watch games at night because I have a game, so I can't get film, and I don't have time to break it down, and I don't want to get my film out. You know, that whole thing.
Buy huddle or buy something that's going to break the film down for you.
Exactly. That's what we do. We got huddle assist. It's awesome.
Oh, my God. It's literally like – so you don't remember this stage, but like when I started my coaching career, it was 2 VCR tapes, man. And it was like –
I was there.
Oh, my God. Literally.
The whole cowboy system. We had to like
– crossover saved my life.
Oh,
maybe save my marriage because it was like I wasn't like 18 hours of doing this, you know, record stop. And then I had a duplicator because I gave every kid a tape. So I had
five
VC. It's like, oh my God. I got a DVD burner sitting right over here that I don't use anymore. But
my first out of Division I, we used to have the, you have to put the person's name you sent the film to, and then the next 20 coaches you had to send the film to. So when you got the, so I put like, all right, we send it to Dartmouth. And then below it would be like, Holy Cross, right. You know, Westgate. So when you were done videotaping the film, give it. You got to send it to the next person in line. You know, right. I had sent it all the way down a list. It was like a pecking order who you send a film to throughout the year. It was crazy. It was
just, it makes no sense.
Film exchange was unbelievable.
All right, so I'm going to give you a rapid fire, Coach. So this is these are tend to be one a real quick answer. Okay.
Okay.
What's your favorite brand of basketball? Now, what I mean by brand is the literally physical ball. What ball do you like to use, or does your team use?
Spalding.
And do you like the Spalding?
I do. Yep.
Okay, I do too. We use a Spalding TKF1000 or whatever it is.
Yeah, I think that's the same thing. Yeah. I use the Rock in most of my call, a lot of the Rock at Quinnipiac, and they're okay.
Okay. I like the feel of the Spalding. I do too. One word to describe your ideal player.
Determined.
Okay. One sporting event anywhere in the world.
Final Four.
Yeah, we went. I took my son last year. We saw Virginia. Oh my God, it was like life changing for him. I think. Yeah. favorite pregame meal.
It seems like this is everyone's pregame meal for 10 years, 20 years. Pasta and chicken.
Well, that's good. I had somebody yesterday that was Mars. A Mars bar. So,
oh, really?
You know, you never know. Superstition.
Not really. No, okay. I don't have those as much.
None. Okay. One skill not being taught.
I'd say passing.
And how do you teach that?
I think you have to work on different passing techniques. Like, you know, when I was at Assumption, the coach at Assumption, he used to talk on, you know, like, ripping the ball, two-man game, left-hand extended pass with a hand on the ball to the end and making that push with the left hand and hitting the guy's outside shoulder. Okay. And I think that was a skill, like ripping it, eyes up, protecting, holding the guy off in a championship and making that left-hand extended pass and then hitting the guy in the right spot. That's a hard thing to do. Most kids would just throw it with two hands, get the ball deflected. Some guys would, you know, throw it to the inside. So teaching that where to hit the guy and how to have eye contact, it's easier when you're coming back with the right hand and you're making a right-hand extended pass and holding a guy off. But going back to that left side, that's a huge pass. And then I said, then the old pump fake, back door. So now you make that pump fake and the guy goes back door, stepping across, making that. So having a footwork to make all those passing angles.
I love that. You know, it drives it from a former shooter and a shooter that lives in this house. It just drives me bonkers when you don't give it to me close to my pocket. It's just, swear to God, I can't, you don't want me to shoot. Like you throw it up here. You don't want me to shoot. That's cool.
We tell our guys not to shoot if they throw a pass at their – you can't shoot it. Like if you throw a pass at their bottom of their feet or a bad pass, they got to control themselves one dribble, then shoot. You know what I mean? You don't want to take a bad, you know, bad shot.
Give it to me where I can shoot it, you know.
Exactly. I don't think people work on skip passes enough. Like,
no.
You know, the importance of, like, skip pass and hitting a guy in his shooting pocket, making that right elevation and the right – that's a skill you
got. And that's where the girls' game has really changed, because the girls have gotten stronger over the last 20 years and because just everything, Title IX, all this stuff. Yeah. But anyway, they are getting to the point where that skip pass now is like that. Their game is changing. Like you can just see it. It's like, whoa, that skip pass was so hard, three-quarter. Now the girls are getting so much stronger that that game
LeBron, is. LeBron is phenomenal with that. He can make one-handed – skip passes and hit guys right in like perfect form, like bang.
Okay,
like,
so again, for all the listeners, LeBron, Giannis, all those guys are just not normal human beings.
Yeah, no, they're definitely not normal
human beings. There's 8 billion people that live in the world and there's one LeBron. So just, you know,
if
you've ever seen him play in person, he runs like a gazelle and he's 6'8". It's like, oh my.
His passing with one hand, it's just unbelievable.
I mean, Wesley played for me, plays for the Bucks. He's 6'3", 6'4". He looks like a little boy out there, like size-wise. He's 6'4", and he's built like a tank because he guards LeBron and those guys. He looks like a little boy, like size-wise. He's not width-wise, but it's like height-wise, it's like crazy. They're just, yeah. You got to go see him, see those games close in person to see how – abnormal they really are. Well, it's one thing you do to relax.
I swim.
Oh, that's good. And do you have a pool at school?
Yes.
Wow. Do you have a good swim team?
Yeah, they're pretty good.
They're pretty good?
Yeah.
Yeah, we have a really good swim team at our school too. I always ask the swimmers, what do you think about? Like, down, back, down, exactly. back.
Something about getting your mind off it, to be honest. Just getting your mind in a different area.
They do. What they say is they say we just don't think, Coach. We just zone out and we sing songs in our head. And it's just like – and it's probably healthier than what we do, to be honest with you.
Yeah.
What's one coaching technique you think's important?
Coaching technique that's important. I think connecting. You know, like how to connect with your players. Like, I think it's important, like, just to make sure the kids believe in, you know, like, especially in this day and age, how to connect with kids. It's hard to connect a kid who's, like, involved with video games, TikTok, and most of the rappers and stuff. You don't know who they are. And for me to connect with that kid, you kind of got to go a little bit more into the kid's life and really – because if you don't connect with them, they're not going to play hard for you. They don't believe in you, and I think that's important.
I started a TikTok 30 days ago for the sole purpose that I knew they'd watch it and laugh at me. Yeah. That's the sole reason I started it. Swear to God.
Yeah.
Teach hoops if you want to listen to it, TikTok.
I'll have to.
It's just stupid. It's like dad jokes, but I don't care. But that's what I'm missing the most right now. I said this to another person I was doing a podcast. I miss my guys. I miss them coming to my room. I miss seeing them. I miss interacting. It's just different.
That part is huge, I think.
It's huge. And it's going to be hard. There's going to have to be a lot of repairing to go on.
And I'll tell you, all the great coaches you can go back and see, they all had that connection. They all, the players, they talk about the connection with the coach. You know, it's just, I don't care who it is. You go, Bobby Knight, doesn't matter. Like, they all believe in that connection
It is. Best player you've seen in person?
Larry Bird.
Were you a Laker or were you a Celtic?
Oh, I was a Celtic. You know,
okay.
I grew up in Boston, so yeah.
Well, I was talking to a coach from Ireland yesterday, and he's a huge Celtics fan. Obviously, he lives in Ireland. He's a huge Celtics fan. And him and I were having this laugh about, because I was a Laker guy. Like, people that are our age understand that you were one or the other.
Like, yeah, you had a choice. I didn't have much of a choice.
But there was like, when you're in the middle of the country, there was like no like.
Yeah, you had a choice.
Either a Laker fan or a Celtics fan. Yeah. There was no like. I like both of them. No, you don't. You either like Magic or you like Larry. Like,
yeah. Like, I mean, you can appreciate the others, but like.
Yeah.
You gotta make a choice.
Well, I hated McHale. Oh my God. Great player, but it's like I'm gonna run him over with my car.
Unbelievable footwork.
Oh yeah, yeah. And Parrish. Oh my God, that was the era. Best player of all time,
MJ.
Yeah, he's winning that by about 95%. I'm hoping. I'm wearing my Bucks things today. I'm hoping Milwaukee has the future one, because he gets a jump shot, man.
Special man. You're right. He can never get that. Consistent.
You forget he's 23.
I know.
Like, I know Milwaukee will give him the city of Milwaukee to keep him. Like, you can have Milwaukee.
Just wherever you want to go.
Yeah. One thing that helped you become a better coach?
Film.
Yep. That's what I – and you know what? Again, you and I have spent – you spent a lot more time than I have, but you and I have both spent a lot of time watching film. That is the one thing I think – some of these young, especially that huddle and all that stuff's doing it for them now.
Yeah.
They're not watching as much film as we had to, because we had to. Like,
yeah, you had no choice. You had to break it down the other way.
Right.
Like you said, rewind, fast forward, rewind, fast forward. So you'd watch one play 10 times.
Right. Sometimes. And I'd be there like, oh my God, it's like 2 a.m. and I've watched like half of a game.
Yeah. So yeah, film was, but I tell you, like, that was the biggest thing. I felt so much more confident walking into every practice. If you really did the effort stats and broke down film, and the best feeling I had as a coach, as assistant, all the way until I was at Quinnipiac, was when you did your scout, it was your scout, and you broke down the film of that other team, and you walked into that, and you knew the other team's plays almost as good as that other team,
right,
and what they were going to do, and you could actually affect the game because you knew something about what – I'll tell you right now, that's a feeling – as an assistant, you know, head coach gets all the praise and all that.
Right.
But as an assistant, and it was your scout, like that was like a big part of it, man.
Right. Like, I know. And it's like, well, and I tell people I have great assistant coaches, but I turn over my scouting, a lot of it, to my assistants at this point. Yeah. First of all, I don't need to do it anymore.
Right.
And it gives them accountability. Like, I come in at the end and they'll go over the scout with me, but I think that's just a great thing for people that are head coaches. What's the best game you've seen in person?
Oof, that's a good question. In person.
Something in the garden. Nothing in the garden.
Yeah, yeah. I'm just trying to think of that. Yeah, I saw one.
Or maybe one you coached.
Yeah, no, I saw a playoff game with the Celtics and the Lakers back in 87, so at the Garden. So that was a pretty good game.
Well, that'd be a pretty good one. Yeah. One word to describe your coaching style.
I guess you have to say that I'm I guess I'd be intense. I mean, I'm passionate, more intensity, passion, you know, for the game. I'm into it. I'm not sitting down, that's for sure.
Best basketball coach of all time.
I'd have to go with John Wooden.
Yeah. I figured that was going to be your answer. One book you'd recommend.
If you haven't read Jay Bill's Toughness.
Toughness.
I think that was good. But the one, like I said, what was the name of the John Wooden one? I'm trying to think.
Is it the one with him on the picture?
Yeah.
It's, I'll put it in the show notes. I know the one you're talking about. That's a really good one. I know the one you're talking about.
Leadership. Wooden on leadership. Just phenomenal book.
Yeah, that's awesome. Would you leave, or I'm going to give you, ask you a couple questions. One of them you already asked, because I think you'd the shot clock. Would you leave it, change it, or replace it? So shot clock, I think you'd leave it.
Yeah.
What about halves? We play halves.
I leave it.
Halves in Wisconsin.
Yeah, so we play halves too.
Okay.
I leave it. I don't think quarters are, you know, I'd rather do halves.
Okay.
You
know? Yeah.
How long are your halves?
18.
Yeah, we do 18 too. Yeah.
The only thing I miss is I wish they gave us an extra timeout like the summer, and if we didn't use it, we lost it.
Just, how many do you have for timeouts?
We have 5.
See, we have 6. We have 4 and 2.
Yeah, see, we have 5. So I missed that one teaching moment in that first half that I wish I could call one. That's like, okay, hold on, we got to do this. That you get with that first to second quarter thing.
I tend to, my coaches laughed at me, said, you know, you don't take your timeouts to the grave, just so you know. I just want to make sure they all have our assistants, because
I don't call them either.
Because my thing is, I'm a pressing team, and my whole thing is I want to get the other team tired.
Right.
So if I feel like if I sit there and I call a timeout, I'm giving them a rest.
Yep.
So I want to like keep the pace going, keep the pressure on. I want them to call a timeout, If I'm calling a timeout, something's wrong.
I never call timeouts. I won a state title in 2011 because I had my timeouts at the end. I swear to God, we triple overtime. They'd score. I'd take a timeout. We'd score. They'd score. The only reason I won is because I had timeouts. They're too valuable. I'll tell you something. We don't – there's a loose ball. My guys know every loose ball on the floor, we're not calling it. I'm not wasting one in the first half.
No, don't do that.
So we discuss it, because how many times have you seen people waste one for, you know, 3 minutes into the game, there's a loose ball, and the kid dives on it and calls a timeout. It's like, what are you doing? Those things are like gold.
I talk about the same thing about traps. We talk about throwing off a guy's leg. We never try and call a timeout. We talk to people, throw it off the ankle, throw it off, you know, whatever.
Leave it, change it, or replace it, summer basketball as it is right now. Like last summer, not this summer.
I'd change it.
And how would you change it?
I mean, I think it needs to, you know, I think basketball needs to, you know, go back a little bit more to the high school coaches. I think there has to be an emphasis on, you know, high school. And nothing against the AAU guys. I think the AAU guys do a great job, and some of them do a great job. And it's great. I run my own AAU program now, so I'm not knocking it. But I really do believe that there has to be a little bit more accountability for the, you know, like some of these AAU coaches you're going to get, you know, you just throw them into these situations. And it's all about, the money. It's not about the connection with the kid. It's not about the, so I'd rather have some events where high school coaches and assistants are more involved, that have accountability and some kind of connection with the kids more, because then it becomes a battle between the AU coach and the high school coach. Like, who do you believe in more, and who am I going to, you know, hey, you know, my high school coach told me to do this, but I got to listen to my AU guy because he's giving me sneakers and he's giving me like a trip to Vegas. And,
what I've thought too, and this is another change I would love to make, is I think the big schools should have an assistant that their sole responsibility is like going out and recruiting, high school. They like during the season, they can't sit on the bench. They can't go to practice. They can just go out to high schools. They can just go watch practices. They can just do that. That would be, I mean, come on. Like Michigan can afford another assistant. And that's all they do. All they do is recruit. And they build connections with the high school coaches.
I'll tell you, that's a great thing to talk about because as an assistant at Division I for all those years, that was a hard balance. I mean, to like try and be at your practice, then go catch a game in Philly. I used to be in practice from Quinnipiac. We used to practice from 1 to 3, 1 to 4, right around there. I get my car at 4:30, drive to Philly 3 hours, see a game. You know what I mean? At 7. Get back in the car at 9 and come back home at 1, get up in the morning, individual, same thing. Like, it's like crazy. Like, so most assistants like, I can't be doing this every day. So they don't go see kids as much as they should.
Well, they don't go to the high schools anymore.
Yeah, they don't go.
They go to Vegas. They go to Chicago and watch them all. And I don't blame them. I would do the same thing because they're not working 40-hour weeks. But if you hired somebody that was their sole job, they couldn't go to practice. They couldn't be in day-to-day stuff. You know, they couldn't break film. You would literally have to spell out that you are a recruiter. Like,
that's a great idea.
This is your job, and that building connections and that you can go out and see high school games. It would be, I just think that would be the answer to.
That's a tough thing because, like I said, not too many college coaches go to high school games anymore. That's and I don't blame them because it's hard to do.
Right. And the thing is, it's like
– head coaches, they don't want to go – how many head coaches – they're like, I don't even need to go to that. You know what I mean? Like,
right.
I'll wait to see him in the summer in July. I'll see him in April. Yeah. You know what I mean?
You better be a five-star recruit if
that's – Yeah, that's the only reason you're going out.
Because someone else is trying to steal him. All right, any parting words on for coaches that are listening? Coach, what would you do it again?
Yeah, I mean, I'll tell you, I think this is great stuff during, this hard times, you know what I mean, just talking basketball and getting mind. This was great for me just to get my mind off all the being quarantined and, just to talk hoop. And I think you should, if you're a young coach, just get with someone who loves it and talk hoop as much as you can. And, but talk hoop in the right way, like break it down like this and get some pointers and watch some, some podcasts and some clips of like basketball and break it down.
So here's what I tell young coaches when they ask me all the time. It's like I said, I don't know if you're a visual person. If you are, go to YouTube, find something, watch film. There's plenty of stuff. Maybe you're a reader. There's plenty of books out there by great people that know more than anything. If not, find them. Everyone should find some mentors. I've had great mentors in my career. I'm sure you've had great mentors that will help you. Like people want to help other people. I mean, that's the thing.
About the college business.
Yeah,
a lot. It is. It's a fraternity of coaches trying to help coaches.
Right, because we all have been through the thing. So, well, thank you, Coach. I really do appreciate it.
All right, appreciate it, Steve.
Thanks. Hey, everybody. Hope you enjoyed the podcast. Make sure you subscribe and like. Leave a review. We love those 5-star reviews. We're gonna leave a 1-star. You can skip to the next podcast. Also, go over and check out teachhoops.com for coaches who want to get better.
Sports Social Podcast Network.